Today on Real Life Radio.
As a Christian, I am to have joy, rejoicing, inexpressible, full of glory. That's what the Bible says is happening inside me right now. And Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday. If I focus on Jesus, if I realize where I'm going.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series in the book of Revelation with the message called, I Do. Here in chapter 19 of Revelation, we now come to what's been seen as the high point of the book of Revelation. You see, in these verses, we discover the reason why Jesus came to earth and went to the cross. With the suffering of Christ as the Lamb that was slain and resurrected from the dead, we have been given a reward. The setting is heaven, the event is a wedding. And the question is, will we say, I do? So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that like a bride and a groom, God wants us to be glad over the union, to rejoice with great and overwhelming joy that we are the Lord's and that He has given us all that we need. Now in his message called, I Do, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, go your way, eat the fat. I knew that was biblical. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those who have not had anything prepared for them. For this is a holy day to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's a great word from Nehemiah 8:10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter 1:8 says, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you listen, it's in the present tense, by the way, in the Greek. You are now currently rejoicing with joy inexpressible, full of glory. The word in the Greek means that's what's happening in the life of the believer, like constant effervescence flowing, popping up, bubbling. Did you know that? As a Christian, I am to have joy, rejoicing, inexpressible, full of glory. That's what the Bible says is happening inside me right now. And Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday. If I focus on Jesus, if I realize where I'm going, that's encouraging. Do you not want to know a real relationship? This is the relationship God wants you to have. Look at verse 7 again. God desires us to be attentive, to be alert. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. Why? For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Note this. Who's getting married? The Lamb. Did you know that there are a little over 700 names from Old to New Testament regarding Jesus Christ? A little over 700 names. And when it comes time for Jesus to be intimate with his bride, the church, what name does he select to put on the announcement, the wedding announcement? The Lamb. How does that grab you? The Lamb. He could have used any. He could have used Lord. That's his name. Messiah. That's what he does. He could have put that. He could have put, come to the wedding as I marry the bride. I invite you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He could have said that, couldn't he have? He didn't. He said the Lamb. You want to know why? The reason why you and I are sitting here as Christians right now is because of the Lamb. Don't take this wrong. It's not because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords that's got you sitting here right now. It's not because he is this or the that or the way, the truth, and the life, as important as that is. Do you know why you're here right now? Is because he's the Lamb. John said it, remember? John 1:29, behold, the Lamb, what? Who takes away the sins of the world. That's why you're here. That's why you're in love with Jesus, because he's the Lamb. And when Jesus wants you to be experienced in a relationship with him, he says, hi, I'm the Lamb. And in the Oriental, again, in the Middle Eastern mindset, the Lamb, the sacrifice that paid the price for everything, that's who you want, the Lamb. It's the Lamb. God wants us to be attentive. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, 2 Corinthians 11, 2 says, Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, a motley group of people, I might add. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed or engaged you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Did you hear that, church? Watch. Paul was preaching his heart out at Corinth, and what a messed up town that was. And people were coming to know Jesus. And Paul says, you know what? This one thing I'm concerned about. My job was to preach to you the gospel, that you might put your faith in Christ and disciple you in Jesus and present you to him as a virgin, chaste, pure. He's speaking about a day that's going to come when the church, as we read about it here in Revelation, the church will marry the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And the declaration is the wedding and the wedding supper, the meal of the Lamb that he has called. That's an amazing thing. How does the church, we should ask this question, how does the church make herself ready? Once a bride-to-be belongs to a man in that culture, listen carefully, she begins to make herself ready. Church, the meaning is this. And I know this sounds so nutty to us, but you got to remember, they have the lowest divorce rate in the world in those cultures. And I know it's interesting for us. Listen to this. The parents who know other parents as they grow up in the community, you got to remember, in many of those villages today, and certainly back in the time of Christ, you grew up in these little communities. Everyone knew one another. You knew the heritage of a family. You knew the lineage of a family. You knew that their third generation back had a nut in it, and it was loose. You knew that this was a godly family, or you know what I'm saying? You knew. Look how far we've come. We've got a culture now. People are sleeping with other people. And then in the morning they get up and say, what was your name? Oh, it's Mike, it's John, it's Sue, it's Becky. Oh, that was fun last night. Oh, see you later. Listen, the Bible says that we have sown to the wind and we shall reap the whirlwind. That's dangerous. Not in that culture. Parents grew up together watching. Then they had families brought to them, children born to them. And parents got together and said, hey, Josiah, Rebecca and I would love to have you and Anna pledge your son, Isaac, to our daughter, Suzanne. Okay? The parents talked about it when they were little. You say, well, that's freaky. Well, just hear me out. If you like it or not, that's what they did. The parents had a bond. They cared for one another. And over that watchful and beautiful setting, the bride-to-be, it'd be years away. She's being prepared. And contrary to what you might think, they're not saying to her, you've got to love this guy, but he's got a giant nose. You've got to love that guy, but she's ugly. You got to love that girl. It had nothing to do with that. They grew up in the parents' prop. And set up things and made things beautiful. It was all out of love, not what you might think. And the grooming was precious. And it ties into your Bible much more than you think. And it ties into your life perhaps more than you think. Because as that woman would grow up, and as that young man would grow up, there would come a time when the father would turn to that young man. And he would say, it is time for you now to be preparing. Listen, that's the command that was given to him. It's time for you, son, to be preparing. The family of the bride-to-be, though it may be years off, they would turn to her and say, this is what we do. This is what will be to you. This is what we will do for you for your safekeeping. Did you hear that? For your keeping. We will commit ourselves to keeping you. Notice the Bible says concerning the Holy Spirit, he's been sent to not only bless us and instruct us and all, but what as a church? To keep us into the day of Christ, isn't it? You see how interesting this begins to be? The Holy Spirit is given to the church to keep the church. The Father tells the Son, go and prepare. Do you see where this is coming? Jesus comes and introduces himself to the bride. There was a point in time when the young man and the young girl, it would be announced to them. It could have been at the age of 13. He will be yours, she will be yours. Now go back on your way. The imprint was now in the mind, in the heart. They may not have communicated much. They may not have seen each other much. But as time went on, there came a declaration to the father, to the parents of the daughter. The time is near. She begins to go from the keeping mode and she begins to repair. It was sometime within a week, 7 days. The son had now gone into the mode of actually making a place for them to reside. Sound familiar? Jesus says, I go now to prepare a place for you. Interesting, isn't it? How does she, though, make herself ready? It is by being attentive. Matthew chapter 25. Turn there if you would. Matthew 25 verses 1 to 13. Jesus made mention of this, a warning, both for the church and for all those believing in Israel and in the world. Matthew 25, 1. Jesus says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Notice, they're waiting. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish, even though all 10 of them were virgins. Those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. They were not prepared for the duration. But the wise took oil in their lamps, in their vessels. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Notice this. This is how Christ will return. Then all those virgins who arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, hey, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest we should not have enough for us and you. But go now rather in to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were, what? Ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said to them, Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore. Jesus gives explanation here in verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Be attentive. Church, the real church of Jesus Christ, the real true Christian is going to be waiting, attentive. You will be making yourself ready. Titus 2:13 ought to really be something on the dashboard of your car or on your forehead or mirror or somewhere. Titus 2:13 says that the believer should be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Very important. Number two in our study, point number two, do you want to know complete forgiveness? In this relationship where God wants us to respond to him by saying, I do, we want to know complete forgiveness. There is not one person in this room that would not want to know complete forgiveness of sins. Wouldn't you want to know that you've been completely forgiven? You can know. Look what it says. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. Notice this, it's not a robe. Fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Very quickly, verse 8. What I want you to see about this is that to her it was granted to be arrayed. The first thing that we see here is that the Lord has given us everything we need to enter heaven. Do you see this, Christian? Are any of you struggling? Have you not lived up to the mark? God says here in the word, it was granted to her to be arrayed. You guys, that word means to be bestowed upon, to be graced with, to be granted, given. To her, it was given. The word means freely. She was given freely the proper garments to wear for this wedding. That is important. It is not a robe. It is fine linen. Why do I point this out? I don't want to belabor it. We're going to come to it later on in our studies. Church, it's interesting. Make note of it, Bible students. The Old Testament saints in the future are seen in white, having been given white robes. Okay? That's the Old Testament saints. The tribulation saints, Revelation chapter 7 for one, are seen having been given white robes. You with me? The saints that died during that 7-year tribulation period to come. Old Testament saints, white robes. Tribulation saints, white robes. The church is never mentioned as being given as a bride a white robe. She is given fine white linen. She's the only one in the Bible that has different apparel. Why? Because she is espoused to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? Make note of that and study it further. What am I saying? That God has given everything that we need. This wonderful gown given to her has been given because, listen, she belongs to him. Will you write that down? Because you're going to ask me later. That confused me. The gown was given to her because espousal. She already belongs to him. In that culture, once you're engaged, did you know that if you were going to break your engagement, you have to write a letter of divorcement? Even before the wedding. Hey, you know this. Remember when Joseph was thinking about divorcing Mary because she was pregnant? And the angel came and said, don't divorce Mary, but take her to be your wife, for that child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit? They weren't even married yet. They were engaged to be married. In that culture, you had to, so binding was the engagement that if you were to break it, you had to have a divorce. Wow. The moment the church was espoused to Jesus, friend, corporately, the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Are you with me? Corporately? But what was the day that you came to Christ, or the month, or the year? When you came to Christ, the moment that happened, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you. The Bible tells us you were sealed into the day of redemption, marked by the Holy Spirit. In that moment, the Bible says you were baptized into the body of Christ. And so to speak, allow me to do this if you're looking. The engagement ring of promise was placed upon your heart, your hand. And Jesus said, I promise you. I'm preparing a place for you. He says to you, Mark. He says to you, Tim. He says to you, Mike. He says to you, Karen. He says to you, Sue. I promise you. I promise you I will never leave you or forsake you. Come on. What does a wife want to hear? What does a husband want to hear? I promise to never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said it to us. I will never leave you or forsake you. Remember that. Even when you've been unfaithful to him, the Bible says, if we've been unfaithful, he is faithful still. Isn't that awesome? I'm sorry, I'm yelling. I'm pumped up about this. My God will never leave me. Have I left him too many times to count? Does my mind wander? Oh, prone to wander, prone to leave the one I love, says the song. Do I not wander from him? Yes, and you do too. Don't look at me so pious. You do too. 1,000 times a day, your mind might drift. And yet Jesus is faithful. The Bible says if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Isn't that great news? That's wonderful news. He's given everything I need. And not only that, he has given me a gown. He's given me linen. He's given me a promise. He's not one who takes things back. He's the Lord. And he's granted us complete forgiveness. Look at verse 8 as it continues. The Lord has given us every opportunity. It says that the fine linen is clean and bright. Just mark that down. We won't need to belabor this. Just that it's clean and bright. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Guys, you need to hear this. Don't raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. Are you married? Are you a husband? Then you are to give yourself to your wife like Jesus gave himself to the church. Are you engaged, young man? Then you are to give yourself to her just like Jesus Christ gave himself to the church. End of debate. No problems, no questions. Clear as a bell. That he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Husband, bridegroom-to-be, give her the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Did you hear that connection? Husbands, the context is marriage. Treat your wife this way. How's that? Just like Jesus treats his bride-to-be, the church. Isn't that interesting? By giving her the word. Why, you give her the word, and all is well. It's the power of the word of God. Because this is true, my friend, we are making ourselves a gown, by the way, every day. And a gown that is beautiful as Christians. As we're following Christ and as we're obeying him, we are putting together a gown, as it were. Yes, listen, it's declared, given to us by his righteousness. We could never have bought it. But now that we are his, we are preparing ourselves, for she has made herself ready. Look at verse 8 again. The Lord has given us boasting rights. I didn't know else how to put it. Boasting rights. You mean bragging rights? Yeah, bragging rights, I guess. It says, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Very quickly this. We have boasting rights as a Christian. And let me put this down to you first. The book of Romans, powerful book, you should know it. The book of Romans is coming from the justification of the believer before God in heaven. That's why the book of Romans says we are justified by faith. The book of Romans tells us our true position with God in heaven. It's a reality. The book of James complements the book of Romans because the book of James tells us about our justification before man. God knows my faith. You don't, do you? You can never know my faith. How do you know my faith? By how I treat you, what I say to you, what I do to you, how I live for you. By you watching my life, you then over time can conclude he has faith in God. Based upon what? Based upon the book of James. What else? Based upon my works. Because my works show forth that I have faith in God. You see, the works come out of my relationship with God. My works do not establish my relationship with God. You see? To do the opposite is to become a cult. The book of Romans says, I am justified freely by faith in God, and I shall never be justified by any works of the law. How? Where? Before God. Okay, now that I'm justified before God by faith, I trust Christ, what do I do now? Then go live among your family and among your friends in your community and let them judge you. I mean that sincerely. Let them discern your faith. You see? James, the book of James, basically says this, and you've heard it before. James says, I'm going to watch your life. You say you're a Christian. James says, I'm going to watch your life. And at the end of a month, I'm going to tell you if you're a Christian or not. That was James' prerogative. That's every Christian's prerogative that you and I have.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, I Do. Thanks for being with us today. I Do is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation, a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, you might feel like you're caught in a trap and temptation is waiting for you, right? Or perhaps old habits, newly disguised and repackaged, are catching you off guard. This month's Book of the Month is specifically designed to help you. It's called Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. It's written by our very own Jack Hibbs. It's a very practical book that offers us a very powerful and effective defense against these attacks. So don't let temptation trip you up ever again. The Lord has promised us that He will not lead us into temptation, but He's going to deliver us from the evil one.
It's one of the hallmarks of evidence that you are a true believer is that you now recognize temptation. So this book will walk you through some of the subtleties of our enemy.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.